So this coming Thursday is Asara B'Tevis. It's the 10th of Tevis, one of the four fast days. We have Zecher U'Churban HaBayis, corresponding to the destruction of the temple. So we'll go into that today and tomorrow, but today I'm going to focus more on a specific question and not limited to Asara B'Tevis, but applies to all fast days, and that is, let's say day 8 falls out on Asara B'Tevis, day 8 of a Bris Milah, that is. There's a Milah scheduled for Asara B'Tevis or any other fast day. Do we go along with the Milah, or since it's a fast day, we say, no Bris today, we push it off tomorrow? So of course, that's not really much of a question, because we all know, even if Bris Milah falls out on Shabbos, we have a circumcision. But the question, because there are different parts to the Bris, we know there's the Milah, Priya, Metzitza, and then there's the Bagel and Lox. And therefore, since you can't have the Bagel and Lox, people assume you can't have a Bris on a fast day. However, we don't assume that's Likuva. You don't have to have the Bagel and Lox to do a Bris Milah. And therefore, it's not an issue. We do a Bris Milah even on a fast day. Of course, like the old minig on Shabbos, that when you had the wedding on Shabbos, you did the wedding on Friday, but you didn't eat the meal until Friday night. So too, you could have the Bris and then have the Suda on the night after the fast. So either way, of course there'll be a Bris. If there's a Bris on Asara B'Tevis or any other fast, even Yom Kippur for that matter, you have a Bris. You never put you off a Bris, a Milah Bizmana. A Milah Shelo Bizmana is a separate discussion, but a Milah Bizmana, we never push off. Anytime, there's a healthy baby day 8, we do it. If there's an issue of jaundice or bilirubin or other things, of course, you push it off until the first day the baby's healthy. No, the Yehuda was very against people who, once they had pushed off a Bris, they pushed it off to a convenient time, i.e. to a Sunday, where they figure they get more people, or i.e. Erev Pesach, where they were making a Siyam. People were fasting, the firstborns fast on Erev Pesach, so to avoid fasting, they would do a Bris Milah in order to to have a Sudas Mitzvah. You put it on pause?
That's on pause.
Oh, you want to... So that's why, if the baby's healthy, we have a Milah Bizmana. When is there a case of a healthy baby, but we don't do a Milah Bizmana? A healthy day 8 baby, but we won't do it day 8, if it's Shabbos.
No,
Yom Kippur, we do it. A healthy day 8 baby.
Caesarean section.
That's what we're looking for. A C-section. Why do we discriminate against C-section babies? Because the Gemara learns out from the Psukim in Parashas Tazria, Isha ki Tazria v'yalda zach, when a woman conceives, gives birth, and has a baby boy, v'tama shivas yomim, and she becomes tamei after the child for 7 days, uvayom hashmini yimol b'star alaso. So the Gemara makes a juxtaposition based on the Psukim that the only type of milah which is on day 8 is a milah where a woman becomes tamei leida. In theory, a C-section baby, the baby doesn't come out from that area, it comes out from the womb, and therefore there is no tumas. Practically speaking, there is today for other reasons, but fundamentally, and therefore only a baby, in fact, that's a Gemara in Shabbos, a machlokas in the Gemara, on when do you have this drasha, whether a C-section baby is day 1, because there's no reason to wait. Why do we wait to day 8? Because how is it everyone's besimcha, and a husband and wife can't even be together, so we wait to day 8? Or do you say, no, it's... Doros Rishonim Yochicho, that even though there was nothing, there was no Tumah, and yet we waited to day 8. So we conclude it's a Sveika Dedina. We don't conclude. It's a suffix in Halacha, how we paskin. So during the week, if a C-section baby is born on Tuesday, so you go with day 8 because Mimanashach either way. Either because if it's day 1 and you do it day 8, it still works. But if it's free advertising, but if it's day 8 and you do it day 1, it's a no-go. So therefore, we're strict, we go with day 8 because we cover our bases on a C-section baby. Because even if it's day 1, day 8 still works. But on Shabbos, let's say it is day 1, so we can't, it wouldn't be a Mila Bismana. So it's only a Suffolk Mila Bismana. By definition, every C-section baby is only a doubtful Mila Bismana. We don't know if it's day 8. If it's a doubt, it's no different than a baby born during twilight. It's a Suffolk Shmini. We don't know if this is the day or tomorrow's the day or some other day. And therefore, we don't do a baby that's born twilight on Friday afternoon between sunset, after sunset, we don't do a bris milah. A C-section baby is no different. A separate share we're not going into now is what about with all these new modern concepts of women becoming pregnant, artificial insemination, in vitro, would that affect the milah on Shabbos? That's a separate class, not for now. But we want to focus more on a milah on a fast day, since Asura B'Tavis is coming up. So obviously the fact that it's a fast day, the fact that you can't have a meal and bagel and lox, we worked that out. You wait till after the fast to break your fast. But the issue is a bori priyagafen. Even though, strictly speaking, the Gemara makes no mention of a bori priyagafen, and if you don't have wine, one can do a bris. Nevertheless, the lechatchilo, we try to do a bris meal over wine. So is there any solution when you do a bris milah on a fast in terms of the issue of the boi priyagafen and drinking the wine? So we have this question coming up in a different context, and we'll see how it applies here. The Gemara tells us in Erevin that when on Yom Kippur, we all know we make a shechiyanu. On every yantiv we make a shechiyanu, but the Gemara wants to, Gemara tries to get a lichat chilo. We always try to make a shechiyanu on a koshel bracha, on a cup of wine. It gives it more credence to the shechiyanu or to the cup of wine, whichever way you want to view it. But we always try to make a shechiyanu, and that's why we make a shechiyanu at Kiddush. And that's why some even say women should not make a shechiyanu when they light candles, but they should wait till the husbands make Kiddush at the meal, and be yotze with the shechiyanu at the meal. Ryan,
what about second day Sukkot?
What about it?
We're supposed to make a shechiyanu both days. Second day, we're supposed to do it something different. Am I right?
No, you make a we make a shechiyanu on. We always make the shechiyanu on Kiddush. Is it, what you're referring to is more second day Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, Rosh Hashanah.
In terms of
one or the other.
That the question, if we assume it's Yom HaRichter, we assume other things, so therefore the question is, could we try to have a new fruit or something new? But the bottom line, even if you didn't, you'd still make the shechiyanu. But the shechiyanu, the shechiyanu you're making over the Kiddush, you're just covering yourself by wearing a new suit or getting something new, that just in case it goes on that. But you still, the bottom line, you are making the shechiyanu. Rav Yaakov Emden tried to get his wife to stop making shechiyanu on Hadlakas Neiros and wait to Kiddush, but it didn't work. He figured if he couldn't convince his wife, no one else would listen to him, so he gave up on the issue. But the post can bring down, really, because when you make Shechiyanu, you automatically accept Yantif, so therefore you can't drive to Shul afterwards. That's why one has to be careful. If it comes up to Moses on Yom Kippur, when people wait for the Shechiyanu, you can't drive to. So if they're going to, either they should wait till they get to shul and make shechiyanu with everyone else, or walk to shul. But either way, so the Gemara tries to get a shechiyanu over a koshel bracha. But the Gemara says, what about Yom Kippur? If you have a little problem, how can we don't eat and drink on Yom Kippur? So how could you make a shechiyanu? How could you do it over a kosher yayin? So the Gemara says, I have an idea. Make it over a kosher yayin and give it to a katan to drink. Make it over a cup of wine, and you don't drink the wine, give it to a katan, a minor, to drink. So Gemara says, bad idea. It's not a good idea of chinach. The child's going to grow up thinking, you know what I do on Yom Kippur? I do kol nidre, I daven ma'ariv, and then I go home and I have a cup of wine. So we don't think it's a good idea to train your child like that. So therefore we say, no wine on Yom Kippur. So that's no wine on Yom Kippur. But Tosis asked, but what about, there was a case where there was a wedding on Asara B'Tavis, which some ask, can you get married on a fast? And according to Tosis, clearly you can, because he talks about getting married on a... what about the Koshel Bracha? What about the Bori Priya Guffin you have at the wedding? Tosis asked, there's no problem. Give it to a katan. Give the wine to a katan. So the kasha is, how do we reconcile? When it comes to...
It's not an everyday event.
Very good. An annual event. Right, it's one of the two distinctions, right. So there's two reasons why it's different. Number one is, as Henry pointed out quite cogently, it's not an annual event. Having a wedding on Asara B'Tavis is something which happens once in a while. In fact, it's pretty rare. So we're not worried that once every couple of years a wedding happens to fall out. The halls are so busy, you can only date you can get is Asara B'Tavis that you have to have. So we'll go with it, and then the katan's not going to remember. And in addition to that, Yom Kippur is kares. Eating and drinking on Yom Kippur is a very serious offense. Well, you don't have that same offense on Asara B'Tavis, even Tisha B'Av. So therefore, number one is Yom Kippur is derais and kares. And plus the fact that it's not something that happens annually. Yom Kippur does, hence we say no. In fact, you know where else the Shiloh comes up? When Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos. Or I should say when Tisha B'Av, when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, we push it off to Sunday. Or when Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday, the question of making Havdalah Saturday night leading into Tisha B'Av. What is the issue with making a Bori Pri HaGafen? You know, what do you do with Havdalah that night? So there are different opinions in terms of everyone. There's no shy. Of course you make Havdalah, but when you say Atachan and Tanu in the Shemoneh Esrei, you are making Havdalah. But there's no Havdalah al Hayayin. Well, it depends. So is there? So there are three shittas. One opinion is you give it to a katan to drink. Because, we don't paskin that way. We paskin, we wait to Sunday night for the Havdalah. There are other shittas that that's it. There is no Havdalah al Kos, because like the original institution was, when we were afflicted with poverty, we only made Havdalah in the davening. We didn't make it over Kos. And since, as the Ramban writes, every Jew is considered an ani on Tisha B'Av, we don't have a temple, hence on that week we do not make Havdalah al Hayayin. We paskin, not that way, we paskin, we do make Havdalah al Hayayin, but we eat to Sunday night. So again, the Rishonim suggest giving it to a katan, and there are those who paskin that we don't. So again, but why? But that's different than Yom Kippur. Number one, it's not the Raisa. And secondly, Tisha B'Av falling out on Sunday isn't an annual occurrence, and we don't have to worry that the katan is going to grow up thinking to drink wine to kick off Tisha B'Av. So either way, so therefore we try it by, so the question is, how far do you extend it? So some Rishonim say, this idea of chinuch, you never give to a katan. Anytime you can't drink for a cup of a kosher mitzvah, you can't give it to a katan either, because it's not good chinuch. That's what some Rishonim. The other Rishonim say, no, it's limited to Yom Kippur because of an annual occurrence. But things that happen once in a while, like Tisha B'Av falling on Shabbos, or Asara B'Tavis, or having a meal on Asara B'Tavis, that we're not worried about. So let's get down to it. What about a meal on a fast day? So let's say, so we have to break it up to different fast days. There's the four fast days. There's this is what they call the Som HaRavi, What is the Soam HaRavi, the Soam of the fourth month? What's that? Yud Zayin Tammuz. Soam HaChamishi is the Soam of the fifth month, which is, very good, Tisha B'Av. Soam HaShavi, the fast of the seventh month, which is?
Gedalia.
Soam Gedalia, very good. And the Soam HaSiri, this Thursday?
Coming up to it.
The tenth of Tevis is coincidence, the tenth month. It happens to be on the tenth day also. But that's not why it's called the Soam HaTziri. So those four fast days, he says, Yevahem was Sussan was Simcha. So at least we'll leave Tisha B'Av out of the equation for a minute. That will be a question. But let's say Asar B'Tevis, Yud Zayin Tammuz, and Soam Gedalia all have the same status. A Mila on those three fast days, what do you do with the wine? A Mila on Asar B'Tevis, Yud Zayin Tammuz, Soam Gedalia, how do we deal with the wine issue?
You see me done? Give it to a katan now? Or
I'm not assuming. I'm asking. Okay. I'm just here to raise. I'm getting answers from you guys. I'm just raising the issues. So this is a machlokes, the Machaba and the Rama, a machlokes, the Sfardim and the Ashkenaz. We had this issue. We had a little tricky issue because we have a Svardi Mohel, and it was an Ashkenaz person. But we went, I don't know if you remember the incident, it was Yud Zayin Tammuz, who had a meal on that day. Any memory? I think it was a couple of years ago. Last year or 2 years ago, we had a meal on Yud Zayin Tammuz. Could you help me out? It was Rabbi Donny Green's son, and Tova. And we have a Jason O'Hane is a Svardi Mohel.
Oh, yeah.
So there was a big issue of this kind. It wasn't a big issue. They probably didn't know there was an issue, but it goes like this. So the Svardim go with those of you showed them that say you never give a katan wine on a fast day. Anytime you can't eat, they go with those of you showed them that wine on Yom Kippur is the rule, not the exception. That we learn out from there. It's never good chinuch. And you never give your child, when you can't drink it yourself, you don't give it to your child. So the Sfardim would not give it. The Rama, we go with the other opinion, it's limited to Yom Kippur. So from an Ashkenaz point of view, you'd give it to the Katan to drink. The Katan is Shegiyah L'chinach, someone like Shimi. He would drink the wine because it has to be a Katan that knows what's going on, or else it's a Bracha L'Batala. So the Minhag Ashkenaz is to give it to a Katan Shegiyah L'chinach. So you give it to someone like Shimi to drink. But Svarim say you don't give it to the Katan Eva. So who drinks it then?
Baby.
No one. Yeah, you just don't have it.
So the Svarim say you give it to Tova. You give it to the mother. I told her afterwards, she's lucky she's not a Svardi. She had to drink the wine that day. But the meaning of the Svardi, you could give it to the mother. Why the mother? Why was she allowed to drink?
Because she's sick. She's sick.
So we have a halacha that if a woman after childbirth, so relax, so she has the status of a chole sheyesh bo sakana. So strictly speaking, again, every woman's different, but strictly speaking, on the books, the first 3 days, she's a chole sheyesh bo sakana. She has the status of someone who's in life-threatening situation. From 3 to 7, we leave it up to mommy to decide, or the doctors, you know, to get in cahoots with the rabbis. And in theory, on day 8, she's only a chole she'ein bo sakana. She still has the status of a chole, but not one that's in a life-threatening situation. So the lach is a chole she'ein bo sakana on Asara B'Tevis, Yud Zayin Tammuz, and Soam Gedalia is permitted to eat. In fact, maybe you have to eat. But you're a chole she'ein bo sakana, you're allowed to eat on those fast days. So according to Ashkenaz, we give it to the katan she'giya l'chinach, Shimi has to drink. But according to the Sfarim, you have to give it to Tovi, you give it to the mother of the child, because you never give, it's terrible chinuch, the Sfarim say, to ever give your katan drinking when you can't drink. So that would be Yud Zayin Tammuz. Tisha B'Av, it seems to be a steer in the Mechaber. See, for us, we view Ashkenaz Tisha B'Av as no different. Tisha B'Av would be the same thing. The child is, does Tisha B'Av have the status of Yom Kippur, or Tisha B'Av has the status of the other fast day? So it's a stira in the Mechaber, in what he says in Hilchas Tisha B'Av versus what he says in Hilchas Milah. So among the Svardim, you have different opinions of what the Mechaber works. But we go with anyway we go with the same opinion as we do the Ashkenaz. We treat Tisha B'Av like the other fast days, not like Yom Kippur. And the Katan Shegiyah L'chinuch would drink the wine if there's a bris. What about Yom Kippur? What happens if a milah happens on Yom Kippur, and it does? So who drinks the wine on Yom Kippur?
Yes, no one. You don't have to drink wine. It's not ma'akev.
But why would Yom Kippur be different?
No, the whole
deraisa.
If the whole principle applies in general, then it would apply in Yom Kippur.
So what is deraisa?
If you're holding, actually, ein bosak.
That's what I'm looking for. So that's what Jeff's on the right track. So we said a woman, in practically speaking, a woman 2 weeks still might be a chola, but on the books, the way we're working, the first 7 days she's a chola, she yesh bo sakana. Day 8 and onward, you know, all things being equal, the woman has the status of a chola she ain bo sakana. So on the other fast days, which are only midrabanan, someone who's a chola she ain bo sakana is permitted to eat. But on Yom Kippur, since it's deraisa and kares, only if you're in a life-threatening situation you're allowed to eat. So therefore, you can't give it to the mommy. So what do you do?
Just skip the wine.
So the Svarim say, like Jeff, then there is no boi priya guffin then. You don't make a boy if you have a bris milah on Yom Kippur and you have a Sephardi community. No, you do have the bris, but no wine. What did B'nai Ashkenaz say? The same?
I would guess. I don't know what else.
You would guess incorrect, I might add. But what do we do is we have wine. We can't have a bris without wine. Who are you kidding? Without bagel and lox, we do a pakushi, but without wine, that's not on the table. So what do we do? Who do we give it to? We can't give it to the mother because she can't eat either. We can't give it to the katan. Katan shegiyah l'chinuch.
Even for a bris milah?
Yeah, we can't give it to katan shegiyah l'chinuch. It's not good chinuch. So we give it to the katan hanimol. We give it to the child that's getting circumcised.
He doesn't know what's going on.
Wait, so we'll get to that, Kasha.
I said that in the first place.
Correct. We give it to the child who's being circumcised. We give him a little drop of wine. According to the Svarim, no wine on Yom Kippur. According to Ashkenaz, you give it to the Katan on Nemo. Aye, isn't it a bracha of Atola? How could you make a boy pri agafen and give it to a Katan on Nemo? He doesn't know what's going on. He sure feels like he knows what's going on. But... so that's based on, Rav Salvation explains, based on the Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara tells us, HaMavarech Sarach Sheyitom. And anytime you have a kosher bracha, there's a halacha you have to drink from the cup. So why would you have to drink from the cup? I would have said, why? Why do you have to drink from the cup after a bracha? Because it'd be a bracha levatala. It'd be a blessing in vain. That's not what Rashi writes. Rashi tells us a new chiddush. He says, Gnai l'kosho bracha. It'd be a disgrace to the kosho bracha that you make a kosho bracha and you don't drink from it. So that's why you have to you give it to. It's not a matter of a bracha levatola. And therefore, to give it to a katan hanimo, that's enough to get away to the gnai l'kosho bracha. So that's the issue when it comes to bris. When it comes to the three fast days, the Ashkenaz give it to the katan, the katan shegiyah l'chinuch. The Svarim give it to mommy. Tisha B'Av's a shaila. Yom Kippur, the Svarim don't give it to anyone because you can't give it to mommy. And the Ashkenaz give it to the katan hanimo.
Such based on Rashi, that's the kosher bracha.